You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with Chris Haft, our MLB.com Giants reporter, as the hot stove season continues to move slowly and coolly so far, but there's still work to be done. On this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about the Giants, where they stand right now. If the season was to start tomorrow, what would the lineup, rotation, bullpen look like? We'll get into that with Chris. We'll also talk a little bit about Tyler Beede, obviously a Giants prospect. He was down at the Rookie Career Development Program last weekend. We'll check in with him as our guys get a chance to interview him down there. And then we'll also talk about what 2018 looks like for Tyler Beede. But let's start with the roster breakdown as of right now, Chris. And when you look at the lineup, not exactly pretty. Obviously, there's work to be done. So if they were to roll this lineup out, it wouldn't be the best scenario, but I'm going to go through it anyway. This is the way you break it down. Gorkys Hernandez leading things off in center. Joe Panik batting second at second base. Buster Posey third. Evan Longoria, the new addition, batting cleanup. Then Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, Hunter Pence in right field. Austin Slater in left field. So with that lineup in mind, what's the strength there if they had to go with that lineup right now? You're laughing at me.
I'm sorry. The strength is hope. well, you hope that Brandon Belt is healthy, coming off of a concussion. It's a serious thing. You've got to hope that he's maybe on 20 home run form, 20 home run a season form. If he is, and close to 300, if he is, that'll give the offense a big boost right there. And that Buster Posey and Evan Longoria in the middle of the order will complement each other. That could go a long way towards spelling some success. And that Brandon Crawford, I find little flaws in my own lineup there. I don't know if Bruce Bochy have two left-hand batters, Crawford and Belt, hitting consecutively. But if they did, they just have to scratch out as much offense as possible. I like Panik in the number two spot. I'm not so sure about Gorkys leading off in center, but that's where things stand right now.
And obviously the question is what will be added, and that is still the plan, right? I mean, when you're thinking about an outfield that includes Slater, Hernandez, and Pence, that is a huge hole that this team kind of needs to take care of between here and opening day.
Yeah, you like the skills of Slater, Hernandez, and Pence. But you like them, I think, coming off the bench. Slater possibly could be an everyday player or maybe like a platoon player on down the road. But right now, I think you would like to have a little more experience in there, a proven hitter.
Yeah, so let's hope that the Giants can take care of business. Of course, everybody is in a similar position around baseball right now of still needing to do things because the market has been so slow. All right, moving on to the rotation, which lines up a little better than the lineup as of right now. You have Madison Bumgarner, obviously the ace, healthy again. Johnny Cueto, then Jeff Samardzija. There's your big three. Then you have Chris Stratton and Tyler Beede, who we'll also talk about a little bit later as far as the Rookie Career Development Program. But whereas the lineup, there's obvious work to be done. When you look at this rotation, it seems like there's a much better chance that is actually the five players that are in the rotation.
Very well could be, Tim, and if it's not, Bruce Bochy will probably be smiling because he'll have some good guys in there anyway. If it's not Tyler Beede and Chris Stratton filling the fourth and fifth spots, not respectively, Chris Stratton probably would be number four and Beede number five. That means he's probably gotten a good spring from Ty Block, spent most of last year in the rotation, showed some promise here and there, and Andrew Suarez. Bruce Bochy really likes Andrew. Loves his stuff. Just needs some experience. Maybe he'll start in AAA, but begin a season in AAA, but may come on strong later and to win a spot in midseason. Now, the first three guys, they get just average seasons from Bumgarner and Cueto in the top two. That's a big improvement right there for the Giants.
Yeah, last year. Yeah, exactly, because when you think about the big three, obviously they didn't bring what you expect from them. Bumgarner, obviously, the real weird injury off the field that he suffered and missed most of the season. And then Cueto just wasn't Cueto. How much confidence is there that he can get back to being the pitcher that he was earlier in his career?
A lot. You know, he showed flashes last year. He just didn't, in his case, he needed to start the year off right away. I mean, when a pitcher starts the year off with a blister, you're almost always playing catch up. And he, you know, that's what he had to do, that's what he had to do last year. And it, you know, the results were an 8-8 record. So, you know, if he's able to start out healthy, that's going to be a key. But if he can start out healthy, he's a guy who works. So don't let, he's a little thick around the middle, but don't let that fool you. He's a guy who works very hard between starts, works very hard to prepare himself. So if he starts out the spring right, I think he's going to be fine the whole year.
All right, so the Giants known for the pitching, and the pitching should be good if things come together in 2018. Let's look ahead, though, to the bullpen. And Mark Melancon was obviously the big free agent signing a year ago to come in and be the closer. He, for parts of the season, was a disappointment as far as that role goes, but he is back. And then you have Sam Dyson as well, who has closer experience. Hunter Strickland, obviously, with the big fastball. Then there's Corey Guerin, Derek Law, Ty Block, who you mentioned being a possibility, is battling it out for one of those last spots in the rotation. Steven Okert, Kyle Crick, Josh Osich, and Morenato Reyes. There's a lot of arms down there, and when you look at the first three or four, it shapes up, it looks like on paper, to be a pretty solid bullpen.
A lot of arms, as you said, Tim, a lot of good arms. Maybe not a lot of experience, not a lot of savvy, and that's what some guys you're going to have to pick up really quickly for this to be a good bullpen throughout the season. But there is some talent, and at least that's a good starting point for the Giants.
Mentioned Melancon and Dyson. Is Melancon the clear-cut guy to be the closer on opening day, or could Dyson push him in spring training?
I'd say Melancon is, all things considered, equal. But if Melancon slips or if he has another physical setback, Dyson will be ready to jump in. He's quite the competitor. That's one thing that was impressive about him last year.
So what's the question mark when you look at this bullpen, the biggest thing right now when you look at it?
Well, I have to say, Melancon.
Okay.
Your closer cannot be a question mark. Whatever team you are, you know, whatever your hopes, you know, are for the season, that's the position where, or the spot, the role where you cannot have question marks. You want to know what you're going to get when you bring in a guy. You want to see in the other team's eyes, other team's posture, oh no, when it's all over when the closer comes in. Kenley Jansen is that type of guy. I mean, for example, several others, just don't come to my mind right away, but, the oh-no closers. Mark Melancon at one point was an oh-no closer. Kind of slipped from that level last year, but he should be capable of reclaiming it again as long as he's okay physically.
Yeah, when you're spending that much money on a closer, you especially need him to come through and live up to that as well. They'll need that from Mark Melancon. All right, I mentioned the Rookie Career Development Program, Chris, and it's a program that Major League Baseball puts on every year. For people who don't know what it is, it's basically every one of the 30 clubs sends three or four prospects who are getting close to the big league level or have already made their big league debuts but haven't become regulars in the major leagues. And it covers for the players pretty much everything they could possibly want to know about things that go on in the major leagues, not between the lines on the field, whether it's how to be in the clubhouse, how to act with clubbies, how to be with the media, how to be on social media, all of that stuff. And every year the players come out of the event kind of praising it for what it's able to do. So Tyler Beede was one of the guys that was down outside of Washington, D.C. for the event last weekend, and our guys got a chance to catch up with him. So let's listen to a little bit of that interview.
Tyler, let's start with this program, Rookie Career Program. What did it mean to you that the Giants wanted you to come, and what have you taken away from it so far?
Yeah, it meant a lot. I know how prestigious this is. I know how much you can learn from being here. The knowledge that they bring in on the panels, on discussions for these meetings, and it's great just to be a sponge to learn things and implement them into my career on and off the field. It's been awesome, and I've learned so much while I've been here.
Let's talk about your on-field 2017. You know, from a number standpoint, probably not exactly what you're hoping for, but what were your takeaways from the season in terms of positives and also what you learned from the struggles you had in the PCL?
Absolutely. It was an up-and-down year. Started great from spring training, kind of setting the tone, getting some experience pitching in Oakland in the Bay Series and getting my feet wet there, and kind of going into Sacramento, hearing a lot about what the PCL was about, sort of learned it just by getting in and experiencing the ups and downs of playing in elevation and how my stuff sort of compared pitching in the PCL. And though I had some difficulties, some adversity, a tough month there, a bad stretch, but you know, a lot of learning experiences, learned a lot about my stuff, how to pitch in that environment and what I kind of needed to do to improve, to be better for 2018. And being able to pitch in the fall league after coming off the injury, getting healthy and sort of building my confidence back, tweaking some things mechanically and in my routine allowed me to build more confidence. So going into 2018, I feel really good, real confident with what I'm doing.
Is it tough when you're that proverbial phone call away and know that if you put together a stretch and they need somebody that it could have happened at any point, to sort of stay within yourself and continue to work on those things and then dealing with the frustrations of struggling knowing how close you are?
Yeah, it's tough. I think the whole year I was sort of just anticipating the phone call. Maybe if I had a good start sitting there by the phone waiting for a phone call. And that sort of got in my head. I think I needed to have a new perspective of why I was playing, my routine, my mindset. And I think kind of the injury put me in that new state of mind where, you know, don't take for granted where you're at. I mean, you're a phone call away and it's frustrating that you got hurt on the verge of being called up, but it's an opportunity to get better, to take each start as it is, just to start to go out and improve. And though there was some things that I needed to work on, the club was sort of waiting for me to improve as the season went on. I think I needed time to reflect, and you know, with the injury and time to pitch in the fall league, it allowed me to kind of have that necessary time to improve on those things.
Does that sort of newfound mindset help you go into a spring training where you're kind of in that same boat where you know, you have a chance to maybe compete for a rotation spot in the big leagues, kind of putting behind you the ups and downs of 2017? And you know, do you try to use that perspective that you kind of discovered to stay even during the course of spring training this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll use it as momentum and confidence going into this spring training. I think from just what I was working on, able to kind of get my game in a position where I know I can compete and contribute at the big league level, I felt really confident coming out of 2016 after my year in Double A, after the success that I had at my few times I pitched in spring training. I felt confident that I could contribute. Now throughout the year, confidence might have wavered a little bit, but I think I'm back in a position where I know that I can contribute to that team and I'm ready to do that next year.
One of the things you've had to deal with this offseason, really for the first time, is hear your name pop up in trade rumors. Yeah. How did you handle that side of baseball, which, you know, you don't really know what it's like until you see your name?
Right. I think I had a great distraction in that my wedding was going on within the week of the Stanton rumors. So I sort of had that to fall back on as my excuse, but at the same time, still looking on Twitter and seeing what people were saying. And I think able to communicate with Bobby, our GM, just in terms of what their vision was with me and the organization and their hopes of me contributing next year, allowed me to just have more peace with the process, what was going on, hearing my name, seeing it, and able to just be more comfortable with where I was at. Now, you know, it's unique. It's tough to see your name out there and think you could be in a different city with a different team within, you know, the click of a phone call. So I just tried to kind of lay back and enjoy the wedding festivities that were going on and let everything kind of handle itself off the field.
All right, a couple of fun questions for you. What's the craziest experience that you've had in baseball?
Craziest experience in baseball? Man. Winning the College World Series was pretty crazy. There was a fairly crazy thing that happened my first full year in the minors. We were in San Jose playing Inland Empire. Bases were loaded. I had just come out of the game. And a guy breaks his bat, hits a dribbler down the third base line. The ball goes under the bullpen benches. And one of the umpires is about to raise his hand to call a dead ball. Our left fielder, Jesus Galindo, goes over. And he kind of pauses for a second, and then he goes and grabs it and throws it, kind of lobs it into second base. Meanwhile, everybody's rounding the bases, and everybody kind of suspects that it's a ground rule double. Meanwhile, everybody's running, and it turns out to be an inside-the-park grand slam, and we lost. And it was just crazy, crazy to see something like that happen.
Not a positive memory, necessarily.
Not a positive memory, no.
What's your go-to uniform number? If you have your druthers, like the number that you pick.
It would be 11, but Carl Hubbell has it, retired for the Giants. I think he played way back in the day, the 1900s, early 1900s. But I've worn, I wore 32 in big league camp last year, and Stephen Okert took it when he went up, and he said, you're going to have to buy me a nice watch for this. No, I'll pass on 32. But I don't really have a favorite aside from number 11. That's what my dad wore when he was playing growing up.
Do you have a favorite Major League Baseball memory from when you were a kid watching a game, going to a game, something like that?
So I went to the first game of the World Series when the Red Sox played the Rockies in 2004, and Beckett was pitching, struck out the first five guys, Garcia Parra, I think started off the first inning with a double off the Green Monster. The atmosphere was electric. It was obviously seeing the Red Sox go on their way to win their first World Series since 1918 was incredible. The emotion from my dad being there with me and my brother was something I'll never forget.
Last one. Who's your celebrity lookalike?
Wow. I've gotten a lot of people told me I look like Jonathan Mayo, if you guys know who that is. I've gotten Channing Tatum as well, as they're both very similar looking. So both those guys have gotten comps. It's really mixed reviews at this point.
So, Chris, he talked a little bit about his up and down season in 2017. One thing he said that I thought was interesting was his mindset was off for part of the year, where he was basically waiting for the phone call, just pitching and waiting for the call to get his big league shot. And it kind of threw him off, and then the injury came, and he had to deal with that. So he seems like he's much more confident heading into 2018. And obviously this is a guy who could be a huge part of this team's rotation in 2018 if everything goes right for him, right?
Yeah, it's funny. When I see him pitch in person, the times I have seen him pitch in person, I say to myself, my God, this guy's going to be good. You know, he's quite a prospect here. And then the season begins, and the numbers don't match what I saw in spring training, and I'm scratching my head. But I think here's a guy who, as you can tell from the audio, he does have an idea. He is mature, and I think things are coming full. The maturity is really catching up with the arm, or the arm is catching up with the maturity. However you want to put it, and. That's a good time. Maybe this may be the right time for him to break out.
And he's obviously one of the guys, when they talk about a trade and the Giants, most teams are asking about him. Obviously, now they've traded for Longoria, so he will likely stay put, and probably the best thing for a Giants system that needs to hang on to some prospects. All right, great stuff as always, Chris. Before we say goodbye, also want to give a shout-out. You have a nice article up for Willie McCovey celebrating his 80th birthday this week, so people want to check that out on the website as well. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Giants edition. For Chris Haft, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.